Good evening.
Good evening, John.
Good evening.
Can you turn with me to John chapter 12, please? John chapter 12, starting from verse 1. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where was the dead man Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. There, therefore, they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Mary, therefore, having taken a pound of ointment of pure nard of great price, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. One of his disciples, therefore, Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, who was about to deliver him up, says, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" But he said this, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had a bag and carried what was put into it. Jesus therefore said, "Suffer her to have kept this for the day of my preparation for burial. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always." We can go to the next chapter, to John chapter 13. Starting from verse 1 also. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas of Simon Iscariot, that he should deliver him up, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he came out from God and was going to God, rises from supper and lays aside his garments. And having taken a linen towel, he girded himself. Then he pours water into the washhand basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them with linen towel with which he was girded. He comes therefore to Simon Peter, and he says to him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do thou dost now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter says to him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash thee, thou hast not part with me." Simon Peter says to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus says to him, "He that is washed all over needs not to wash save his feet, but is wholly clean, and ye are clean, but not all." For he knew him that delivered him up. On account of this he said, "Ye are not all clean." When therefore he had washed their feet and taken his garments, having sat down again, he said to them, Do ye know what I have done to you? Ye call me the teacher and the Lord, and ye say well, for I am so. If I therefore, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that, as I have done to you, ye should do also. Verily, verily, I say to you, the bondman is not greater than his Lord, nor the sent greater than he who has sent him. If you know these things, blessed are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know those whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Mm-hmm. I tell you it now, before it happens, that when it happens, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say to you, he who receives whomever I shall send receives me, and he that receives me receives him who has sent me. So here we have two specific portions of scripture where the disciples are gathered around the Lord Jesus in a household. And the first we have the Lord Jesus getting his feet anointed, and the second is the Lord Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And my point is not to focus on the washing of the feet or anything like that, but rather to emphasize the broader meaning, the gathering itself, the fact that these were people gathered around Lord Jesus. And in these two gatherings, there's the Lord Jesus getting blessings and the Lord Jesus giving blessings. But amongst these gatherings, there was one who didn't receive these blessings, nor did he give blessings. And I really just want to equate these gatherings to gatherings of ourselves today. We see here, as we all know, Judas walked with the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years, his entire ministry. And Not once did he ever internalize Christ. He saw him physically, and he was with him. He walked with him. And it even said in John 13, "He that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me." This is going back to the Old Testament. So we see here that although Judas was in the midst, he could never really take of the enjoyment of Christ. And I just wanted to bring a short word and equate that to today, because although this itself is a gathering, there are some of us here who may not actually take the full enjoyment of Christ. I'm not saying you're Judas, but I just want to say that some of us, including myself at one point, all that we know of Christ is what we've heard during these lessons. Many of us have grown up in the assembly, and we have such privileged lives. We have so many resources. We have probably at least 8 Bibles in every household. Yet some of us have never read it. And I'm bold enough to say this because I used to be one of those people. And all you can take is what you hear from the people who speak to you, the songs. And even then, there's people here who sit and hear, but then there's people who don't sit and listen. So as you can tell, this is a mighty big book. Some of you say yes, and I love every word of it. And some of you say, yeah, tell me about it. I hope your reaction is the latter. But I was looking through my Bible, and my version has about 1,500 pages. And I actually counted the words on one page, and it was about 500. So there's 1,500 pages multiplied by 500. There's about 750,000 words in this book, give or take. And I just want to point out 3 that have really helped me transition from someone who is just sitting and hearing to someone who is now sitting and listening. So if we can turn to John chapter 1. There are 2 specific portions in the chapter where the phrase is said. And I'm going to read them first and then say the phrase. Starting with verse 35. "Again on the morrow, there stood John and 2 of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he says, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speaking and followed Jesus." Excuse me. "But Jesus, having turned and seeing them following, says to them, 'What seek ye?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which being interpreted signifies teacher, 'where abidest thou?'" We can look at verse 43. "On the morrow, he would go forth into Galilee, and Jesus finds Philip and says to him, 'Follow me.' And Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses wrote in the law, and the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph, who is from Nazareth.' And Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?'" And here are 2 specific portions where the answer to each of them was, "Come and see." The first, in verse 39, is the Lord Jesus. He says to them, "Come and see." And again in verse 47, or verse 46, Philip says to them, "Come and see." After I read these portions, I never read Spark Notes again. And I know it sounds a little odd. But after I read this, I finally understood that to truly understand the meaning of something, you have to delve into it. You have to delve into Christ. To truly, fully accept and receive the joy of Christ, you have to delve into it. So I stopped reading Spark Notes and I stopped reading reviews, because I understand that everybody experiences their own experiences differently. So knowing this, I have to say within myself, if I really truly want to find out what Christ is trying to say to me, if I really truly want to understand and receive that joy, I have to find it within myself. I can't just take people's word for it. And I really was happy that I got to go first, because I wanted to say this before other people spoke, that when someone is about to speak, you should really internalize it. And what these people say, if you read that portion within the scripture, it just means so much more to you. And so I just briefly wanted to say that before someone speaks, or those of you who just may be sitting here and hearing, don't read a review, don't read a spark notes of this book. Come and see. Really open this book. It's sweeter than the honeycomb. It's honestly the transition. I was listening to sports radio a few years ago when the Cubs were doing really well. And this guy called on the radio and he said the most ridiculous thing. He said, "My wife is better looking, I have a better relationship with my kids, and my food even tastes better." All because his baseball team was winning. I guarantee you, if you delve into this book, not only will your wife look better, for those of you who are married, not only will your relationship with your children be better, but your entire life, you'll just find light within everything. And so I just want to say, don't read the review. Come and see, and then write your own review. Not physically, necessarily, just write one on your heart. And I just pray that this would be an encouragement to everyone, not only for tonight, but for the rest of your lives when you hear someone give the word.
Amen. Amen.